Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans, and welcome to the Peristyle Podcast. I'm Ryan Abraham on a Sunday, Easter Sunday. Today on the podcast, we normally speak with the coach, Harvey Hyde, but he is on special assignment for Easter this week. So we have Keely Orr pinch hitting for us. So if you're looking for some, you know, expert analysis on how the Trojans are wearing their socks over at camp, come with us next week. But hey, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Keely has been out of practice every week, and we will talk about this Trojan football team with 3 weeks down and 2 weeks to go with USC football spring camp still on the docket. If you have any questions or comments for the show, please drop us a line or an email at podcast@uscfootball.com, or you could call or text us 424-254-9141. Do keep them brief. I know there's a lot to hate about Larry Scott, but keep them brief, as brief as possible. And you can also find us on iTunes, by the way. You can subscribe to the show, rate the show, leave your comments at our direct URL, itunes.com/peristylepodcast. You can find us on all the major podcasting services like Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and Audio Boom. If you have another service that we're not on, just email me, ryan@uscfootball.com, and I will go and make sure that you're on there. So without further ado, let's welcome Keely to the show. You can follow her on Twitter at Keely is my name. Keely, welcome back. No shotgun today, huh?
Yeah, he's in Lodi covering a baseball game or something. So it's just you and me, Ryan. Just you and me, Keely and Ryan.
That sounds like shotgun. That definitely sounds like shotgun.
He's certainly wearing a baseball cap of some team variety, you know, out there covering the baseball.
Yeah, and you know, since it is baseball season, you might want to go to a baseball game, and now is the best time to do it. Just call Southern California Tickets, sctickets.com. Give them a call, 800-888-7287. Talk to Curtis and tell them the coach sent you. Even the coach isn't here. Just let them know the coach sent you, and you can get tickets to the Dodgers or the Angels. I know your Angels started the season. Not the best start for them, though.
The Angels don't need to start well, because they're going to finish well, and the Angels are definitely going to win the World Series or get close to it this year.
That's a little bit of optimistic Keely right there.
Optimistic Keely is very excited to see what Mike Trout and the Angels will do this season.
What do you think of Ohtani, though? Isn't that that Japanese guy that they just signed or something like that? I'm still reeling because my Pirates just got rid of Andrew McCutchen, and so I'm thinking of becoming a Giants fan, which I know will make a lot of people listening to this pretty happy.
Ohtani is simultaneously the greatest pitcher in the MLB and the greatest hitter in the MLB this year.
Wow. So. Okay. Look at Keely and her baseball takes over here. But let's talk about the Trojans. 3 weeks into spring camp. It's just going with a breeze. I know this episode is going up on a Sunday, Easter Sunday, April 1st, which means that yesterday, March 31st, USC had a spring scrimmage. We're recording this before then. So let's just assume what happened in the scrimmage. I'm guessing Tyler Vaughn's had about 4 touchdowns, wouldn't you say?
I think he had 5. It was definitely 5 touchdowns. You know, the quarterbacks probably didn't look that good. And, you know, Porter Gustin probably looked like a monster.
He is practicing. We didn't see him at all. If you followed us, you know, over the course of last season, you know that we talked about it every single podcast that we have never seen Porter Gustin on the practice field. But we have been seeing him. How have you thought of his spring so far?
Oh, he's had a good spring. He looks good. He looks very, very good. I think he's definitely stock up. Stock positive?
What's that phrase that Shotgun doesn't like?
Well, he's stock, not stock neutral.
Oh, stock neutral, yeah.
He's definitely not stock neutral.
See, stock neutral is what Tyler Vaughn's is, because he just can't go any higher.
Tyler Vaughn's can always go higher. Always go higher.
Well, he can go up for the ball, you know, yes, higher than anybody else. He's got that vertical leap, which I saw before everybody. I was on high school fields telling everybody about how Tyler Vaughn's was going to be the best. I remember talking to Keyshawn Johnson. I said, have you seen this Tyler Vaughn's fella? And Keyshawn was like, I don't know. But I stuck with it. And Tyler Vaughn's looked pretty good in the Cotton Bowl. But let's get to your guys' questions. You guys guys own the show here at the Peristyle Podcast. We couldn't do this without you, without your questions, without your comments on the P. Again, as long as the voicemails are about 4 seconds and the emails are no more than 75 characters, we will be able to get to them. Let's start out with a voicemail about the running backs.
Hey guys, how you doing? I was calling to leave a voicemail to see exactly how the running back position is shaping up here at USC. We was thinking, me and the buddies, and trying to evaluate the new quarterbacks. It's going to be pressure for the young quarterbacks to get out there and perform at a real high level. But the best way to alleviate some of the pressure of a young quarterback is to hand the football off. Or how the running back position looking? Are we looking to do a more of a power running game with the coaching staff we have on board right up, as of right now? And if so, how are the running backs going to help out the young quarterbacks? Or can we go out and look for a grad transfer? There is a guy that said that was at Louisville that's looking for a home right now by the name of Jeremy Smith. Big back, real productive in the very few opportunities he had at Louisville. Just asking. You guys be safe, and thanks for your time.
Thanks for the call there. Definitely love our phone calls. Do give us more phone calls here, ladies and gentlemen, 424-254-9141. Again, keep the calls a little bit brief. Don't have too much time to listen, but we definitely appreciate them. Keely, you've been at all the practices. How do you think of the running back so far?
Yeah, interesting. You know, as a childhood UCLA fan, I remember the great UCLA backfield that included Maurice Jones-Drew and those guys. So I think USC's running backs crew is actually doing pretty well right now with Sed Ware, Aka Cedric Ware, and Vivai Malapiai back there, and Dominic Davis, who is filling in for the spring. So I don't actually think that that a transfer is necessarily a grad transfer is necessarily needed for USC right now. I know the depth is a little bit thin, but when you've got a Sed Ware and when you've got a Vi Malapiai out there, you can maybe hope to live up to some of those Bruin backfields that I grew up on.
Wow, I feel like the P is going to start to really not be too happy with you there, Keely.
Oh, they might not be. They might not be. I mean, obviously, I'm all USC now, but
you're not, because we're not a fan podcast. Oh, we're independent journalists here looking at this objectively.
Very objectively, but objectively. I guess Cedric Ware has put on some weight. He's looking pretty good. I think he's going to take care of business. And I don't think that USC will be looking at grad transfer running backs anytime soon with Marquis Stepp also coming in the fall.
Jeremy Smith, I just looked it up. He had 8 yards last year for Louisville. And the year before that, he had 382 and 270. It's just a little bit of a question mark. I think if SC is going to bring in some sort of a grad transfer, I think you need it to be a sure thing. You need it to go get, you know, Ryan Nall from Oregon State or something like that. And, you know, Oregon State, I mean, that's a program that Larry Scott loves. And Larry Scott just loves giving them more money, unlike USC for some reason. But we'll save that for a Dan podcast. But let's get to our next question, which comes from Marcellus. Ryan has expressed concern for the upcoming season regarding the fans' experience during the Coliseum renovation. Curious to get your take on the Rams loading up for a potential Super Bowl run, drawing the city and league's attention in the Coliseum at the very moment it's partially gutted. I can't imagine the university expected this. Do you anticipate displeasure from Rams fans or the NFL? Could this become a bad PR situation for USC? Thanks, fight on, Marcellus in Vegas. I'm going to go to Vegas in about a week and a half and play some golf out there. What say you, Keely?
Interesting. Well, the Rams left Los Angeles before I was born. So I really never know what to anticipate from the Rams or the NFL in Los Angeles. I mean, maybe it'll be a bad PR situation for USC, but I think if the Rams are successful, then the Rams are successful. And, you know, USC has bigger problems with the Coliseum than just bad PR with the Rams being potentially on their way to the Super Bowl. Maybe finishing the Coliseum will be a bigger concern than the optics with the Rams. I don't know about you, Ryan, though.
Yeah, I don't know how to talk about this one, because, you know, the Rams definitely are getting, you know, big names, you know, Peters and Sue and all those guys on the team. But when you look at NFL fans, are NFL fans smart enough to know who owns the Coliseum and who runs the Coliseum? I don't think that they do. No matter what the Coliseum looks like, I don't know that people are going to say, hey, it was Pat Hayden that signed off on this and Nikias that signed off on this, and it's Larry Scott not giving USC enough money that they had to shortchange the renovation. I don't know that that's going to be the takeaway from a random, you know, NFL fan back home in my home state of Massachusetts.
You could be right there. You could be right there. Interesting.
So I would say, what was that stock? The stock?
Let's call it stock neutral. Let's call the Coliseum and the Rams stock neutral.
Let's go to a question from Nick. And Keely, I think this one is definitely for you. This was on the P. This is Nick from Cyprus, a.k.a. Big Nick 21 from the P.
Interesting.
Question is, how do you think the Angels will do this year? Fight on. Keely, definitely for you, because as I mentioned, my Pirates don't have a lot of players anymore. So I'm thinking of becoming a Giants fan.
Well, as I already said, the Angels are definitely going to the World Series. They're definitely going to win the World Series. And Shohei Ohtani is going to lead the Angels along with Mike Trout to hoisting the trophy at the end of the season.
Yeah, I love that. Still, optimistic Keely just reigning in supreme here. Let's get another question from the P. You guys send in a lot of questions on the P, and we do appreciate it. Do subscribe to us. We got to maintain our status as the market leader. USCfootball.com. That's how you're going to get all of this great content that we put out, along with Gerard and all the recruiting stuff that you see over in the War Room. Won't be talking about anything in the War Room on this episode, but do subscribe and you can read all of it. USCfootball.com. Let's go to a question from JRezzy441. Honest thoughts. Should we expect JT to take over after week 3? How is the communication going between Drevno, Callaway, and the O-line? And has Ray Scott, Narbonne legend, how has he looked this spring? JRezzy441 or 44411 on the P. I like that name, JRezzy. It's a good name.
It is a good name. It's definitely a good name. Should we expect JT to take over after week 3? Is that a reference to Sam Darnold taking over after week 3? Interesting.
It might be.
I mean, should we expect JT Daniels to take over after week 0, week 1?
First of all, can we talk about the not to cut you off, Keely, but can we talk about the tweet that Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network put out this week, that the Browns should, since they got rid of Cody Kessler, they should sign Max Brown and then keep him and start him the first 3 games and lead into Sam Darnold? Amazing tweet.
It would be very, very, very poetic, and it would work very well. But USC is definitely not going to have Max Brown starting for 3 weeks this season. I think they could definitely have JT Daniels starting for 3 weeks for the first 3 weeks this season, though, and well beyond that. It's 3 weeks, I suppose, with the current quarterbacks that USC has, would suggest that JT Daniels will take over as a starter at some point.
Yeah,
at some point.
It's definitely possible. Again, it's a lot of stuff that JT's going to have to get over. We've talked about this on our podcast. He's taking, I think it's 46 classes this spring over at Mater Dei, and he's going to have to pass all those with A's to be able to, you know.
C's get degrees, Ryan.
Oh, speaking from experience there, Keely, are you?
I take offense at that. Straight A student. I'm sure.
Let's get into the second part of the question. How is the communication between Drevno, Callaway, and the O-line?
Tim Drevno is coaching USC's running backs, so I don't know about any communication between Drevno, Callaway, and the offensive line. During this past week of practice, when he spoke to the media, he was asked about the offensive line, and he said he was basically just focusing in on the running backs. So he is definitely the running backs coach, and that seems to be where his focus is, and Neil Callaway is working intensely with the offensive line. So they, you know, Callaway and the offensive line will have to prove what they're doing this spring is moving that group forward. But Tim Drevno has only a sort of limited involvement there as the run game coordinator and pass protection coordinator.
Yeah, it's also not easy where they put us on the field in the little media pen, kind of way off to the side. We can't really see much.
As far away from all of the action as you could possibly be.
Yeah, it's just like being, you know, sitting next to the peristyle, which those seats will still be intact when they redo the Coliseum, by the way. Final part of JRezzy's question here was, how is Narbonne legend and California 2-time California state champ linebacker Raymond Scott look this spring so far? High praise for Raymond Scott.
Raymond Scott has not done tons of work so far this spring. He's been there. He's sort of settling in to his position at linebacker, but he's not one of the guys who is getting, obviously, first team reps is all Cam Smith and John Houston, but he's not necessarily, he's only gotten a couple instances of second team reps behind Levi Jones and the former walk-on Ruben Peters. So he has a little ways to go, but that's not unexpected for, you know, an early enrollee, a guy who's there for the first time this spring. He's going to take a little while to settle in and get used to the college game. So he's just, you know, got his head down and doing work, but not much to say on him so far.
All right, Keely, let's go to the next question from the P from AK Trojan. Can you discuss basketball recruiting? How many more players can SC take this year, and who are they taking? How many open scholarships? I think this is a great question, AK Trojan. We're going to have to save that for Shotgun, because Keely, I know you don't know anything about basketball, right?
I know all the stuff about baseball, nothing about basketball.
All right, we're going to go on next one. Question from Twitter from Hyper Future Vision. Funny name there. I like that name there. Hyper Future. It's like, you know, the future, but it's really intense. It's the Hyper Future Vision. Which current quarterback this spring would you say realistically, from what you see so far, could either beat out Max Wittick or Aaron Korp? I think it's a little bit of a low blow to Matt Fink and Jack Sears, and also Thomas Holden, or is it Holden Thomas? I can never remember.
It is Holden Thomas, and that has been uncomplicated by the fact that Thomas Fitz is now a kicker, so it's less. Getting them confused is no longer an issue.
Thomas Fitz, Holden Thomas, members. Thomas Holden, Ruben Peters, Peter Ruben. I don't know any of these names. They're just very confusing.
Well,
I mean, speaking from experience as someone with two first names, Ryan, Abraham, it does get a little difficult at times. I'm sure you get that too, Keely Orr.
At least people get your name right. At least people pronounce Ryan right most of the time.
Most of the time. I get Brian, though, sometimes.
Oh, sometimes. See.
And then I get Brian Bethlehem sometimes. For some reason, Brian Bethlehem.
Interesting. I mean, I'm just happy if people pronounce my name correctly, which is Keely. So that's
not
exciting.
Not Kelly.
Not Kelly. Definitely not Kelly. Definitely not Kelly. But, you know, it's hard for me to speak on Max Wittick or Aaron Korp, because when they were battling for USC playing time, I was...
Were you in elementary school?
I was decked out in my powder blue and gold.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's right.
Singing the UCLA fight song. So I don't know if I can compare Max Wittick and Aaron Korp to any of the two quarterbacks that USC has had this year. But if I was putting on my USC cap from that era, I would say that through 3 weeks, Jack Sears certainly looks like the one more capable of beating out a Max Wittick or an Aaron Korp. Jack Sears being much closer, actually being pretty much a middle ground between Max Wittick and Aaron Korp, in the sense that Aaron Korp could run. I mean, I have been told that Aaron Korp can run, run, and I've been told that Max Wittick had a bigger, had a good arm. So Jack Sears is somewhere in between them. So he might be the guy.
So would you say he's kind of like a Richard Brijo?
Yes, exactly. He's a Richard Brijo. That's exactly who I would compare him to. But Matt Fink would have a hard time from what I've been told about Max Wittick and Aaron Korp, would probably have had a hard time. His 3 week performance so far, but he could obviously get better from here. We'll see what he does.
All right, let's go to an email we got from Tarek with a CH. It's funny, we have Tarek with a K and Tarek with the Q. What are the chances? Tarek with a CH. This question is for the coach. Love his analysis about my Trojans and his Rebels and his expertise. Wanted to know if he thought JT Daniels reminded him of Randall Cunningham at all because of his arm. Thank you for your time, coach. Tarek with a CH in flyover country. Flyover country. It reminds me. I have a flight tomorrow. I'm going to going with Colin Cowherd to play golf in Texas. So, but Keely, answer the question, please.
Interesting. I don't actually know if JT Daniels is anything like Randall Cunningham. To be honest, I was. I don't know how old I was when Randall Cunningham was playing football. So
yeah, we'll have to save that one for next week when the coach is back on the show. So save that, Tarek with a CH. Send it back in, please. Again, just keep all the emails and voicemails a little bit short. We get so many, it's difficult for our intern to be able to look at all them. Let's go to a question from Twitter from Contrarian P. That's a funny name. It's like you're not an agreeable P, but a contrarian P. It's a funny one. Thank you for the question. Do they appear to be committed to more physical practices than last year? What do you think, Keely? I know that in Media Pen we're kind of, you know, off to the side, but we can see a little physicality. What do you think?
Yeah, well, Thursday's practice was a little bit more lively. They've taken out the water break that they had in last year's practices. So in that sense, it's more physical. But they've only really done a few full pads practices, and when they've gone full pads, they haven't necessarily really tackled. Helton has talked about tackling, live tackling, but there hasn't been a lot. I mean, there hasn't been like real tackling. There's still very quick whistles. So, but, you know, I suppose we could see into the future and say that Saturday's scrimmage was hard hitting, physical. You know, if we wanted to say that, maybe. Are you there, Ryan?
Oh, sorry. You're done talking. I didn't realize. You know, with these podcasts, I get just, you know, I ask a question and then the person answers, and I'm just, you know, here booking a flight for my wife and I to Tahiti. So sorry about that. You know, Gerard isn't allowed to take vacations, so I have to take extra vacations for him. So I have to schedule these things during podcasts. I'm sorry about that, Keely.
Am I allowed to take vacations?
No.
Oh.
No. By the way, it reminds me, let's talk after this. We might need to send you to Tustin to cover another recruiting thing. We'll talk off air. Let's go to a question we got from Fred on Twitter. With Holden Thomas getting more reps at quarterback, is that not a bad sign for Fink and Sears? I'm getting more worried about their lack of rising to the competition challenge and showing big flashes and big play ability.
Interesting. I don't know. I mean, Holden Thomas has gotten more reps than I thought he would get. But I think Fink and Sears are definitely the guys who are discussed as the guys competing for the starting job. So I would guess that they just want Holden Thomas to get as many reps as possible in case they need to use him. But I think Fink and Sears are sort of on their own level, and Holden Thomas really isn't getting first team reps. Like, they're not throwing him out there with the first team offensive line. If that was the case, then maybe that would signal a little bit more clearly that would be a bad sign for Fink and Sears. But when Clay Helton talks, you know, when we're with him in the scrums and he's talking about the quarterback battle, he's definitely not talking about three guys. He's talking about two. So,
if you're curious, by the way, if USC has any scholarships for Holden Thomas now that guys have transferred and everything, do tweet me. Tweet me directly. I prefer that. If you have a question about whether or not USC has a scholarship available because a guy decommits or transfers, do tweet me, please, at Inside Troy. You can also check out our scholarship distribution chart on USCfootball.com.
Wait, Ryan, if a guy transfers away, does that mean USC gets a scholarship back? Do they get an extra scholarship?
Again, I've always wondered that. Tweet me and I'll answer on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
At Inside Troy on Twitter. I will answer it for you. Let's go to a question. You're going to love this one from Ricard. I think it's like Richard with a K, Ricard. I think this is for you, Keely. If she's single, LOL, okay.
Interesting.
We can skip that one.
Yeah, we'll skip that one.
We'll skip that one. He says, here's my question. Now that Sam is out, can the three quarterbacks fighting for the starting job save Clay Helton's job because he's going to finish 7-5 in 2018?
Interesting.
7-5. That sounds like pessimistic Ricard to me.
Interesting. Does that mean he's going to finish 7-5 with one of those quarterbacks? Or he's going to finish 7-5 with none of those quarterbacks?
That's the question. I don't know. What's your take on this?
Well, one of the three quarterbacks is going to be USC's starter. Do you think Clay Helton's job will be safe if he goes 7-5, Ryan?
I would think. I mean, this is a coach who's. I know a lot of fans are upset, and the negative Nellies are, you got the sunshine pumpers and the doomsday thumpers and the middlemen and women.
The whiny little pukes.
As my wife knows with the Tennessee fans, the wackos too. But you know, when you look at them, I don't think that Clay Helton's job is on the line if he goes 7-5. This is still a coach that's been to two straight January 6 bowls. USC hasn't done that in a decade. You know, when you lose a guy who's going to go number one overall in the NFL draft, those are two big shoes to replace, regardless of who the coach was, whether or not it's Clay Helton or Nick Saban. So, I mean, Nick Saban wouldn't go 7-5 unless he was at, you know, Michigan State or something, but it's 2019. If he goes 7-5 in 2018 and 2019, then you can start talking a little bit, or he'll have a hot seat going into 2019. But I don't think that he's going to be fired just because of 1 year going 7-5. I mean, Lane Kiffin wasn't fired. He went 7-5 and he had nowhere near the accomplishments that Clay Helton had.
Well, and USC certainly won't be ranked number one going into this season and go 7-5. So I can right. see that they'll be if they go 7-5 with either one of these quarterbacks, then it'll be with much lower expectations. But still, you know, I think one of these guys could come up and be perfectly serviceable, and that's all USC would need, really, to be better than 7-5.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But Keely, this has been really fun, been really a treat to have you on the podcast. Because we don't get to have you on much. We have the Family Feud podcast, which I've never understood why you called it the Family Feud. But you guys were really excited about calling the Family Feud. And I like it because it just gives one more podcast that people can listen to that they like. If they like maybe the younger energy that you guys bring, it's good for us later in the week. So it's good to have you on. And it's always fun to talk to you.
Yeah, it's always definitely very fun to talk to you, Ryan, as well. And it's Family Feud because Shotgun and I are like siblings and we fight like siblings. So Family Feud.
By the way, Family Feud reminds me of Price is Right. Did you know that I won the Price is Right?
Oh, did you? Did you win a trip to Aruba? Or are you planning that yourself?
Well, go to YouTube and you can see what I won. And it was pretty fun. But no, we're actually going to Tahiti. My wife and I are going to Tahiti.
Oh, right. Tahiti.
Yeah. And then month after that, we're going to do Thomas and Kitts, which no relation to Thomas Fitz.
Interesting. Yes. Well, I would hope.
Thanks for listening to this Peristyle podcast on a Sunday, April 1st. We will be back with the Dan podcast tomorrow. I think we're gonna record that tomorrow. Maybe you could ask them when you're doing your incident analysis. That's true.
Yeah, I suppose
that's a good point. I'll have to send him a message on ICQ and see if Dan gets back to me. But thank you everyone for listening. You know where to find us. You can send us an email at podcast@uscfootball.com. Your calls and your text messages 424-254-9141. And again, keep those short. We have an intern who can't be taking all of his day reading all of the emails and everything. Keep them short, paragraph, and then the calls about a minute. We get these 3-minute calls, and I'm sure you guys say great stuff, but we're gonna have to send them over to our friends over at like Reign of Troy Radio because they go on forever. I don't know how they talk so long. I have no idea how they talk so long. Like diarrhea of the mouth.
They do 2-hour podcasts, and that's just much much too long.
You gotta listen at 2x speed, and I just can't do that, especially those food takes that those guys give. I just can't deal with it.
Well, and then when you listen on 2x speed and then you listen at regular speed and then they sound like they're on drugs, just very, very like slow. That's jarring. It's very, very strange. It's interesting.
Yeah, not a fan of those guys at all. So if you want to listen to another podcast, listen to Family Feud with Keely Orr and Shotgun Spratling. Keely, thanks for coming on again. Again, you can listen to us on iTunes. Subscribe to the show. Rate the show. Leave your comments. It really helps us out. And if you need tickets, sctickets.com, 1-800-888-7287. Tell Curtis that Keely sent you, or the coach sent you, or I sent you, or Gerard sent you, or Gerald sent you. And you get your tickets to everything but not a USC spring game, because there is no USC spring game this year. But we'll see you out at Howard Jones later. So until then, Keely, did you have a final word? No, so, never mind. Okay, we'll talk to you tomorrow. We talk to Dan.
Tickets. SC Tickets is your concert, sports, and theater ticket source. We have the tickets you need to any event worldwide. Football tickets are now available. Call SC Tickets now at 1-800-888-7287, 1-800-888-7287. That's 1-800-888-7287. Or visit us on the web at sctickets.com. SC Tickets, concerts, sports, and theater.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by uscfootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.